whole world is a homicide victim, Father.
I don't know why that was. I tried a couple of times and it just wasn't, yeah, connected.
Well, you went a bit vocoderish then, Dave. You got a vocoder. Yeah.
Really? A bit like Cher.
Yeah.
I believe life after love.
Some shit rapper.
Oh, yeah.
One of them rappers. The other thing, Dave, is that it is 50 years since The Wicker Man.
Oh, yes, it is 50 years, isn't it? 50 years since the making of one of the greatest British films of all time, my friend.
Well, it came out, didn't it, in 73?
It did. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we were talking about celebrating 50 years of The Exorcist as well. Yeah. Both films came out the same. It was quite a hell of a year, wasn't it, for sort of classic, unusual film, 73? Because you've got Don't Look Now as well. So those three films alone are quite something, really. They've got a huge legacy behind them, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, The Exorcist, first and foremost, but then The Wicker Man. And, of course, Don't Look Now is not to be sniffed at because that has a very strong legacy as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was the fans had a big showing of The Wicker Man, I think, on Borough Head.
Oh, wow. You know,
on the 1st of May. So, unfortunately, it's been missed. But I just came across it accidentally.
I hope it was the original version and not that cobbled together one.
To prefer.
Rather than the perfectly succinct 80-minute version. Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw the some pictures for that Wicker Man anniversary, you know, earlier in May, they did actually have a Wicker Man on Borough Head. I didn't see, they weren't any detailed pictures, but it looked pretty shoddish.
Was it shit?
I'm going to try and find it.
Do you remember that day we stopped at that place on the way to Borough Head? What's the place near it? And honest to God, I was starving. We hadn't eaten. And I had a corned beef bap. And it was literally nothing to put on it. It was so plainly.
Oh, it didn't have any brown sauce or anything.
There was no
like
brown
that.
Sauce. There was no mayonnaise or a little bit of, you know what I like is a bit of, what's it called? Salad cream. A little bit of salad cream.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And a little bit of English mustard and salad cream with a, you know, and a lovely corned beef bap. They had nothing. That's
okay.
Basic. You know, that was a key word we had when we went to Dumfries and Galloway. Basic. As much as we loved it, very basic.
I'm just going to see if I can send you this image of the Wicker Man.
Oh, there, I've got it. You've sent it. I've got it. Oh, look at these. Oh, look at it. The head's too big. What is that?
Exactly.
Oh, the fuck is that? It looks like one of those things from Doctor Who, not a Wicker Man. That thing, the Santaran.
The Santaran, yeah.
It's a fucking Santaran, not a Wicker Man.
I bet they've got a round wicker basket from Home Bargains. For
that's
the
what
heads.
It is. I'd love to think they put like a little stuffed Edward Woodward in it. You know, like the guy, Penny for the Guy.
I can see someone filming it there. I wonder if there's any footage.
I have to say, though, if it wasn't for the Wicker Man, if you held the picture further back, you could be right back in 1973. Nothing.
You could, yeah.
Even the way everyone's dressed and everything just doesn't even look that. Well, I suppose it does look fairly modern. God, that is a... That is
well,
a
not that modern, Dave. You know, you could say that picture was taken 20 years ago, couldn't you?
You could, couldn't you? Yeah, you could. They look more like Kosovan refugees, don't they, then? You know, Wicker Man fans. But there you are. That's, mate, it's very good in a way, that. Just a shame about the massive head. It's just... Oh, that is funny, mate. That is great. Just wish they hadn't made the head quite so big.
I know. We'll never get over that. Ah, right, Dave, listen, I'm just seeing here. There's better pictures of this shit Wicker Man, which I will try and send it, because it was in this local magazine.
Oh, yes.
Hey, okay, so I'm going to try and get hold of that, man.
Okay, welcome. This is lovely. Dumfries and Galloway alive. Our motto for the newspaper is very little happens here. Oh, actually, our motto is the basic truth. Always the basic truth.
You see that there, there.
Oh, yes, there it is. Oh, my God. I mean, look how massive that head is.
Oh, there's a really good picture. I'm going to send you it.
Oh, that's great. That's hilarious. What's Philip Schofield doing, looking, running up to him?
Yeah, he's committing suicide.
It's coming out.
Oh, look at this picture. This is a better one.
Okay, I'm waiting with bated breath here, fella. Oh, yeah. Well, I quite like it from that angle.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
It's just so shoddy, isn't it? There's no structure to it, really.
Who's that on the top of the other page? It's like Wurzel Gummidge.
It's just like the half a bloody CD rack on there.
It's shoddy, isn't it? It's not been very well made, that at all, has it? That was terrible, actually. Getting a closer look, inspection of that. Well, bless them for trying, but it's...
Well, there's a new book coming out. There's a new book coming out, Dave.
Yeah.
In October, a new book, The Wicker Man, the official story of the film. We've sort of had that before, though, haven't we? That,
you know, I think we may have had that kind of thing.
New.
I think we might have had that tenfold. Yeah. Is it by We Saw You Coming Publishers?
Yeah. Right, I'm going to send you another one now.
I can't wait. I'm loving this.
Oh, fangled machine.
Technology, mate. What's it all about? Back to the good old days of black magic. Black magic and pagan murder. Lovely.
Have a look at that one.
Oh, look.
It's just collapsing.
That's terrible. That is such a fucking disappointment. What's that there? Let's have a look at it there. See if we get a bigger picture. Oh, that's a person stood at the edge of the beach there. That's St. Ninian's, isn't it? Yeah. Someone's there at the at Amworth. Yeah. We did it years ago, kids. We did it years ago.
I wanted to do like a sort of spoof documentary, which would involve our trips. Because, you know, I had all that footage.
Yeah.
I was going to like just... use some of it around like interviews of us, talking heads, loads of different talking heads, telling this story slowly about some tragedy that unveiled, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was going to be something along the lines of, we invited like a new person who would not really, you know, never been before, but with the sole purpose of sacrificing them. And well, the mystery would have been that this person just disappeared after the trip, and it was like never spoke about really between us, but we all sort of suspected who had done it, and there was more than one person that had done it. So do you know what I mean? So it was, it was sort of unpicking, peeling layers off, trying to uncover the truth of what happened to this person.
That's a great idea. So anything interesting on the agenda to report outside of 50 years of the Wicker Man?
Well, not really, but I mean, obviously, Sinead O'Connor's died.
I know.
Which is...
It's just sad, but in a kind of way, I wasn't that shocked, really.
No. I mean, I didn't actually know her son had killed himself last week.
That's bloody tragic, that, isn't it? And that was awful. I didn't know about that. At all. I didn't know much about her, really. She sort of fell off the map, didn't she?
Well, it did really into her in the early days.
Yeah.
Really. I remember buying two books on her. I was quite, not obsessed, but I really did like her and loved her music.
Yeah.
First two albums. I mean, I can't remember what a third album was. I don't even know if I got that one.
I've got an album of hers on tape, which is almost like an album of covers. And it's got like really old stuff on and like easy listening stuff. And lovely, really, because her voice is great. You know, she sings everything beautifully. It was almost like her favourite songs, and she just wanted to sing a load of old songs.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you've probably seen lots of Dave Fanning in the last day or two. You know, the Irish music journalist. He seems to be being asked to comment on every show. He was saying that she did a lot of different albums, like some reggae stuff, some soulful stuff, and and he was honest enough to say, you know, a lot of it didn't work, but she was experimental.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said her last two albums were actually really good.
Yeah. She was good. And she, when she started off, she was sort of kind of almost like post-punk, new age kind of.
Yeah, I remember seeing a gig on Channel 4. There was a live show of her. I think that was when I first came across her. I thought she was great.
I think that's it. When she had that huge hit with the Prince cover, you know, it's kind of made it quite mainstream for a bit after that, didn't it? Like,
yeah. The album that's on is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. I like this covers album. I think it's great. Can't for the life of me remember the title of it, but it's a nice album. It just highlights what a brilliant singer she was, you know. She was a brilliant singer, lovely voice. Tragic, it really is. It's fucking tragic, isn't it? Mental health, baby.
But to be honest, the last few times I'd seen her, I just thought she was like really obnoxious. I don't know if you ever seen that clip where she's on Andrew Marr's show.
No.
So she's on there. You know, they used to play out with a song.
Yeah.
It was being presented by Eddie Mair. I don't know if you know him.
Standing in
for Andrew Marr. And you know, he was just trying to have a bit of a chit chat with her before she starts.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just asking her questions. And it's so awkward because she's just being difficult for the sake of it. And then just before she's about to start, she says, oh, that was the best interview ever or something. I mean, I don't even know if he heard, but it was just like, why did you do that? You know, why be such a dick? He's got like half a minute to ask you a couple of questions. It's just going to be the basic shit, you know, when's your album?
I always found that bloody show, that Andrew Marr show. Andrew Marr you're talking about. I'm thinking of Andrew Neil.
Mm.
When he had that Andrew Neil show that he used to have in the evening on a Thursday night after question time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He used to have guests on, and it was so cringe, though, at times, when he'd have like a pop star on, and they were trying to be... Have you seen that one?
I was going to mention.
Oh god.
What happens? Is it Portillo, Neil, and I can't remember who the woman is, get up and start dancing?
Yeah.
And he's just looking at him.
Just sat there and you're like, what the hell? It's almost like, let the earth open and swallow me up. Take me away from these fucking people. Shocking. But of course, you know, there's big news today going on, pal. Very big news today that the BBC and all mainstream fucking national television decides to completely ignore.
Yes. I know what you're going to say.
You know exactly what I'm going to say. You've got fucking... What's more important, the topic I'm about to talk about or Nigel Farage's fucking bank account, right? But, you know, in America... there's been a congressional hearing about UAPs, UFOs, and three incredible witnesses of extremely high caliber telling their stories to high-ranking American officials. It's been big news in America, and nothing gets spoken about here. What's the fear? That somehow it's dumbing down question time or something. Or the BBC News. I don't get it at all. I really don't get it. Surely this is potentially enormous news. You know.
Well, I did see a little bit of it. It's all about like the Dave Fravor and the one that we talked about, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Dave Fravor's come. But if you see, this is the first time that Dave Fravor's been able to tell his story to a congressional hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a big thing. This is like going in and talking about it in the Houses of Parliament. It's the same thing. It surely deserves a mention.
I'm just looking at that Bobby Gillespie face.
I know, that is hilarious. I've sent
it, yeah, have you seen it?
It's hilarious. You know. So they're taking it seriously now because they feel that there is certainly questions to be answered in a very big way over it. And I have to say, the Republican, I would never normally praise a Republican politician, but Tim Burchett, the Republican Senate who's pushed for this, he's been great because he's got a cross-party, you know, a neutral set of Democrats and Republicans together to ask questions about this to these people. And every single senator agreed that they were very, very authentic witnesses. You've got Dave Fravor, who's a commander. David Grush is so high ranked in the American Armed Forces that he's been debriefing things to do with the president, right?
Right.
And Graves, of course, has been fantastic because he's been constantly on about air safety.
Yeah.
So, I'm just baffled as to why we don't even have a debate about it here. Bring on some of the debunkers, bring on some of the cynics and some of the,
They think there'd be room for it maybe on like another type of news show, not necessarily the news, but, you know, a Good Morning Britain or something like that. Although that's been cancelled, hasn't it, for the women's football?
But I just feel like what it is, there's something a bit sinister about it because it's, I think, that media networks, especially in this country, have said, no, we're not dealing with that. We're putting that under the carpet. Mm. They don't want to address it. But no. That actually, the big point of this, whether you believe that there's a possibility that there are, you know, whether you believe, like David Grush is saying, that there are spacecraft that they've got hold of, which, you know, the guy who's saying the most outlandish is the guy who's got the most senior rating, if you like, this guy, Dave Grush. And you look at David Grush's background, he's unbelievably high ranked, especially in his top secrecy code. You know, he's at the top level of secrecy. And if he says too much, you can put him in prison immediately. Just put him in prison. Yeah. So he's taking a great risk, great personal risk. Yeah. But they've got this new whistleblower thing taking place amongst it, which means that they are allowed to come forward and safely say, in certain circumstances, you know, what they've seen and what they believe is out there. But then there are other things. He's just saying, I can't comment on that. No, I can't comment on that. So he can't give official details. He can give a broad outline of something. Yes. But as I say, cross-partisan Congress hearing, I thought it was brilliant because you've got people from the left, people from the right, all asking really pertinent questions. I watched a good part, like the 2.5 hour, because I was listening to it last night before I went to bed, listening to it this morning before I went out to work. Taken really seriously, the evidence is compelling. And this guy, Burchett, he said, I'm not stopping. We're going to push this and push this. Because he says he's getting stonewalled all the time by the Pentagon.
Yeah.
He's asking for documents and he's asking for information. And they're just constantly stonewalling him and stonewalling these other politicians, these other senators. Now, surely that's big news. Surely on any basis.
Yeah.
Why is it not on Newsnight? Why is it not being talked to? I don't get it. Is it because people just see it as being too far-fetched? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I suppose it is all an American story, isn't it? But I agree. I think it is a big story. It's a massive story because I don't think this is... They've ever had one before, have they?
No.
Not the one that's been televised.
I think this time, Lee, it's not going to go away, this, you know. Mm. It will come out. I just think that the British media in general are going to have a huge egg on the face eventually, though, because it's going to, there's more that's going to come and it'll burst out, you know, whatever it is, there's something going on. There's no way someone like Fravor is telling pork pies, is he? He's just not.
He's not lying. I think he genuinely believes.
Sure. So whatever it is, I'm not saying, let's say that Grush is talking out of his arse and it isn't anything to do with extraterrestrials and blah, blah, blah. But whatever it is, it's fucking weird. And we don't know about it. Mm. We don't know about this. So there's something that's quite a breakthrough in science that we don't know about. Probably, let's say it is man-made, it's going to come out and it'll be massive news when it comes out. It's got to come out sometime, hasn't it, really? You know, because what Graves is saying, he said when they were doing their missions, they were there all the time. These tubes inside a sphere just floating about in the fucking sky. I was like, what the fuck's going on? And he set up this thing about air safety because of it, because of these near-miss collisions that were taking place in that area. the way I look at it is, if you took all these things individually, you took them out section by section, it's all significant news. So if it's to do with things in the airspace that are a potential danger, that on its own is a very significant bit of news, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's something to do with advanced technology that a power like the United States doesn't have, that is very significant and quite concerning news, you know? Mm. And then if it is, so take them separately, but then if there is hidden technology that may not be from the planet Earth, which sounds absolutely, I know it sounds absolutely preposterous, then that is extraordinary news, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think it's pretty, I think it's just the sensational nature of it that is stopping the rather conservative-minded British media from saying a bit more about it. But I do think there's room, you've got to talk about it at some point, because it's crazy. It's all over, isn't it? You go onto YouTube, it doesn't take you long before you scroll down and it's there. You knew about it. I didn't even have to mention it. You knew about it.
Yeah. So it's I can't think how I didn't know about it, actually.
But it's because it's out there. Mm. So you might hear about it.
I do watch YouTube a lot. Maybe it was.
Well, who doesn't, mate? This is the thing. I don't go looking for it. It comes to me. Now, maybe it's because they know I've looked at things to do with UFOs before and it just flags up, obviously, with these algorithms and what have you. But
I get a bit embarrassed about my algorithms. Not another Piers Morgan video.
Well, you see, I'm surprised that Morgan hasn't talked about it, because I thought he might. Talk radio might, or talk, whatever it's called, talk TV. But
you only have him debating. It's hilarious. I do find the debates really funny, right? Just for entertainment purposes. He was debating, you know, have you heard about this new Disney film, Snow White?
Oh, yeah, I saw a bit of that.
Oh, did you see? It was so funny, because he's got that gay comedian on there. It's just absolutely rubbish. Because I think what the issue was is that Snow White, the new Snow White, doesn't have dwarfs, which is a massive kick in the teeth to dwarfs. I mean, what's that trying to say? Is that trying to say that dwarfs are bad?
It's not just like a fucking payday, baby. It's a payday.
Yeah, well, this is it. The dwarf guy was saying there's hardly any roles for us. These were seven roles.
Yeah.
Took them away and replaced us with Snow White and the seven magical creatures.
Exactly. But wasn't part of the problem that someone like fucking Peter Dinklage was going on about, well, it's all right for him, the entitled twat.
Well, that's what that guy said. The other dwarf, he said, you know, Peter Dinklage doesn't speak for all the other dwarfs who are looking for jobs, you know, actors.
Peter Dinklage is the lucky short person who's been able to find himself in films like Three Billboards in Missouri, whatever it's called, and obviously Game of Thrones and all. He's been lucky.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of work for...
But the guy made a good point. He said he was happy to take the money for Elf.
Yeah.
For playing a little person or a dwarf.
Yes. I mean,
what did he actually say? What's his objection to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
It's all to do with it being objectified as like these sort of like little diminutive...
Yeah, but you are a dwarf.
Retarded, pardon the word.
They're not retarded.
I know they're not. The dwarfs, but that's the idea.
The cartoon portrayed as good people, aren't they, that help Snow White?
Well, that's what they were saying. They've all got their own individual talent.
It's not that's like... the idea. Here's a portrayal of seven horrible, bloody, sickening dwarfs. It's a good role model.
Yeah, they've all got their own identity, haven't they?
So it's not they care for Snow White. They save her.
Yeah.
What is he on about? I mean, but this guy...
He's not thought it through, has he?
He started arguing against it, and I can't even remember what his fucking argument was. But then when he heard what the dwarf said, he went, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with everything you say there. So Piers Morgan says, well, you didn't agree with it 5 minutes ago. He says, well, that's because you said it, Piers. So this dwarf interjected and said, so you're saying that you agree with me because I've said it, but Piers Morgan has said exactly the same thing, but you don't agree with him. And he went, no.
I think this is a big part of the whole wokeism thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about the people who are saying it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time it's about the people who are saying these things, because there's a lot of stuff that most people are keeping their mouth shut about that is such fucking claptrap. And it's a kind of leftist fascism,
Absolutely.
Which people don't realise. I don't know if they realise, but it is very possible to be very left and be very fascistic as well. It's happened. It's happened. Look at Stalin's Russia. You know, yeah. There's no difference between, like, if someone's extreme in their views and won't let anybody be able to differ from that. And that's what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's happening. I believe it's happening in universities and stuff.
Massively in universities. Yeah. You know,
we need to counteract it. They get a big picture of Bernard, stick him in the fire. Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. Oh, scare the living daylights out of people thinking you're going to go into a Bernard joke, and it's like a Bernard Wrighton. Do you remember John Thompson? There's an Englishman, there's an Irishman, there's a Scotsman, there's a Pakistani. What a lovely example of harmony. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
A Pakistani. A Jew. And an Indian fella.
He's an Indian fella. Pakistani, a Jew. An African, you know, an African fella. And they're all together, and they're all helping each other out, mow somebody's lawn, an old lady. Isn't that lovely?
He said there was one joke I heard. There was a Welsh farmer taking his driving test. The instructor said, can you make a U-turn? Make a U-turn, I can make his fucking eyes water.
I think we need to go back to a bit of those days, really. We need to just open up, lighten up a bit, don't we?
Well, I think Ricky Gervais does sort of take it on a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he quite enjoys it. I think he's deliberately provocative to them.
Yeah,
he's just clever with it. They can't get to him.
It goes back to what we were saying as well about the Americans have had a much broader perspective on this, and that's why. I mean, you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, and some of it's so close to the bone. Some of it is really so, you know. But it's hugely popular, and there's lots of like pretty right on people who think it's fucking hilarious. But I think there's also a lot of pretty right on people that do think some of the woke culture is just too fucking much. I scratch my head. I don't get like the likes of people like Sam Smith and that. I just don't get.
The thing with Sam Smith is being very good.
They
saying he's coming out, he's non-binary. He would like people to use the pronouns they, them. But I get that it's going to be difficult. And I thought that was a good thing to say, because he wasn't one of these ones that, if you do get them wrong, comes down on you like a ton of bricks and accuses you of being transphobic. And I don't think a lot of the trans people do. It's the advocates around them are the ones that are coming down on people like a ton of bricks because they accidentally use the wrong pronoun.
I quite like the fact that he presents himself as being satanic. What worries me, is someone who desperately wants for the face of Britain to change politically to oust the Conservatives, and even if it means getting a wishy-washy fucking no-mark Labour leader and middle-of-the-road Labour Party in, just so we've got a change of government away from this fucking disaster and this fucking stupid little schoolboy fucking multi-millionaire cunt who can't even wear his trousers properly, you know. He has these, like, little drainpipe pants, which is fair enough, and he wears a smart suit, but he's always got his pants. You've always got about 6 inches of sock visible because his pants are far too high. And we have priorities. Oh, priorities. We've got our 5 priorities. And he talks like a little boy. He talks like a presenter of Play School.
Yeah.
And we have priority number one in the round window. You know, fuck off. But the point is, though, the point that I was going to make about the change of government is what we just don't need is the right-wing press to get hold of all this stuff that's taking place, which is from the left. Let's be honest, it's from the left.
Yes.
All this uber crazy.
Well, that's wokeism. It plays into the loony left narrative, doesn't it?
It plays into the loony left narrative. It plays against the change that we need, because what will happen, stupid people will read the press, the right-wing press will push it all in together. This is what Starmer wants for Britain. This is what he wants. And we'll end up perpetuating the same crap, having more conservative. Good God, look at the mess Britain's in. Look at the fucking mess Britain is in. Has it ever been as bad as this?
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
It is amazing. Have you ever known Britain to be in such a fucking... You hear about the Centrica's fucking profits today. The ludicrous nature of things going on. Brexit's been such an unmitigated disaster. Clowns running the country. Clowns.
Mm. Well, even Farage has admitted it's a disaster, hasn't it?
Yeah, even Farage has said it, they're clowns. And he's a frog-faced fucking clown. You know, there shouldn't be a thing called Coutts Bank. It's a fucking disgrace.
No.
I'm very tempted to get rid of my NatWest account. Fuck off and go somewhere else. Mm. Take my money out and tell them where.
Well, I have no loyalty to banks. I switch all the time.
Good for you, lad.
For the cash.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I tell you something. Do you know what? I might go into like a credit union anyway. I might go and do something else. There are alternatives. Fuck banking. Banking's just full of... It's a corporate shill, isn't it? It's fucking bullshit. Fucking bankers are fucking wankers. They really are. I hate them. Absolute scum. They're all fucking scum. £5.2 million if she gets per year, that fucking wench who fucking was running NatWest. She can fuck the fuck off.
£5.2 million?
Yeah, yeah.
Christ.
You know, I mean, I've no time for that
fucking neo-fascist Farage.
No, it's disgusting, isn't it? I've no time for that neo-fascist Farage, but I tell you what, I've got less fucking time for the NatWest and less fucking time for banks in general. They're a bunch of fucking cunts. And we own a lion's share of NatWest. It's like 30% is owned by the British taxpayer. 38%. How dare they give someone £5.2 million a year? How dare they as a salary? They can fuck the fuck right off.
Exactly. Really makes well said, so mate. Well said. Right. Really? Next on Newsnight, Brian Harvey. I did want to talk about Brian Harvey, Dave.
I thought we were going to do a whole pod on Brian Harvey.
Well, I did want to do a pod on Harvey, and I've tried to do a bit of research, but the story is really difficult to tell because it's very incomprehensible. For people that might not be aware, Brian Harvey, former E17 member, has his own TV channel, and he has had his own TV channel on YouTube, of course, not a real one, for several years now. And
I had a bit of a glance at it.
Yeah, the main focus of his TV channel, as well as dealing with his paranoia, is, well, I mean, I say paranoia, it might not be paranoia. I think there is sort of evidence that people are out to get him. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But he's trying to expose paedophile rings.
Yes, I know. Right. But, you know what I say to that, Lee? Methinks the fella does protest too much.
Oh, you could be right. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, this, isn't it? Exposing Britain's paedophile rings. It's all rumour, no evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
They're roping all sorts of people into it. So, from what I remember, like, 4 years ago when I first came across this stuff, there was this guy... is he called Andrew Ash that they got, who was basically an adult now, and he said as a child he was abused by all these celebrities, and some of the, you know, he would name like you were saying, that he went to a party and he was abused by Ted Heath, Simon Cowell, Cliff Richard, Matthew Kelly, Freddie Flintoff. I'm just making up names now. But he's just like ridiculous.
What a mix.
Yeah, ridiculous mix of people all at this paedophile party. Now, if you're a paedophile, why would you pedo in front of other pedos, especially if you're a celebrity?
I know.
You know, isn't that taking a risk too far?
I find this idea of like a paedophile ring a bit odd. I've always found it like, hello, welcome, come on in. Yeah.
Are you a member of the paedophile?
Yes.
Like you have a gold card.
Yeah. Oh, you're Pete Fatherton. You're a paedophile. Come on in.
Well, there did used to be this weird pamphlet that was that used to go around Westminster in the late 70s called the Paedophile Exchange. You ever heard of that, Dave? It was like a fanzine.
Wasn't that the thing that somehow Harriet Harman got a link to? Because... Was that like in the 1970s?
Yeah, it's called... Yeah, actually, it's the Paedophile Information Exchange.
Yeah.
So it's I'm just reading off Wikipedia. Was it
part of this uber-liberal sort of newspaper where that was sort of advertised in or something?
Possibly, yeah. So
or some... I don't know.
The Paedophile Information Exchange was a British pro-paedophile activist group founded in October 1974 and disbanded in 1984. The group campaigned for the abolition of the age of consent. It was described by the BBC in 2007 as an international organisation of people who trade obscene material. And it had a few women members.
Jesus.
So its acronym was PIE, Dave.
Oh, God.
Pedophile Information Exchange. I mean, it's fucking bizarre, isn't it?
That is just weird, man.
Get the postman delivering your copy of PIE.
Hello, Reverend. Hello, Reverend Hargreaves. Here's your latest PIE magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Trevor.
Oh, God. But anyway, so Harvey...
This one.
So Harvey was, like, interviewing this, I think he's called Andrew Ash, on camera, and he was exposing all this bullshit, this made-up stuff, right? And Harvey had, like, a couple of colleagues that were doing the same thing that was helping him. But he had a massive...
I thought you were going to say he had a couple of twinks.
But he had a massive fallout with them. And he's since come out and said that it was all bullshit and he was used because of his name to get these guys to give him a bit more profile, and that this Andrew Ash is just lying, which he is. You know, I mean, you can clearly tell that he's making it up. But since then, Harvey's been like saying that these guys got a vendetta against him. And he's been saying that the government have got a vendetta against him. He's been visited by the police. He's been visited by the authorities, basically saying that he is under threat from unnamed people. So it sounds like there's people out there trying to silence Brian Harvey.
Well, it's pretty obvious that if there was an actual group back in the 1970s that was then supposedly disbanded in the 80s, it's very feasible that they could have gone underground, I suppose. And that they are like the Freemasons, a secretive Freemasonry of evil pedos who are like still in existence, and they could be like chief constables. Do you know what, mate? Nothing would surprise me anymore. Nothing. This is why I'm totally prepared to believe there's some weird shit going on in the sky, because all my kind of childhood securities of the comfort, that, you know, the comfortable world of light entertainment has been totally shattered, you know.
Yeah.
The Savills, the Rolf Harris's, the Stuart Halls, you name it. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing.
But I think a lot of it really does stretch credibility.
Yeah.
But the thing about Harvey is that, and what I was going to say is that it's so difficult to follow because Brian Harvey does like 5-hour impromptu YouTube videos. He just looks fucked, whether he's tired, stoned, or whatever. He has got mental health issues. You know, he is depressed.
How many views do they get?
I don't know. But he's been taken off YouTube. He's been banned loads of times. So he keeps having to reset up his channel.
What's his channel called?
Well, it's BHTV.
BHTV.
But it's now something like BH underscore TV 2 because he keeps having to change it. But he'll just wake up on a Sunday morning and he'll just do like a 5-hour video. So you can never really understand exactly where he's at and what the story is. And there's nothing you can really find online about this, about someone summarizing it. But I listened to him on a podcast, actually. He was on a podcast. So the podcast did give a more coherent story, but he was talking about Daniela Westport. You know, he used to go out with her.
Oh, yeah.
From EastEnders. And he said that it dated back to when they were going out, when he was first exposed to this paedophile ring. He said they went to this club. They went through like this exclusive bit and they went upstairs. And he said he was looking for the toilets or something. And then this wall moved and exposed this other room.
Oh, wow.
And he said this other room was like, it was like full of celebrities,
right. You know,
people he recognized. And what he's saying there is that he actually saw Simon Cowell with Giselle Maxwell.
Right.
So he's put the two and two together and said that Giselle was there to provide the underage children.
Ghislaine
Maxwell. Right. He's saying that's what he thinks was going on there, and that Simon Cowell is a paedophile.
Right. Well, that would not surprise me. That just would not surprise me.
But this was like in the mid-90s, I think. And no one really knew who Cal was then, did they?
Yeah, who he was. Who the fuck was... Yeah, no one knew who he fucking was in the 90s.
So it doesn't sound very credible, but Harvey's absolutely adamant. And he said that Daniela's trying to cover this up as well, because she's saying he wasn't with Ghislaine, he was with Sunita. So Harvey's like going, well, I know the difference between a white woman and a black woman. I'm not that mad.
Oh, my God.
But I like Brian Harvey. I do like him, and I sort of want to believe him. I really have a lot of time for Brian Harvey, and he's one of these guys that...
I love you, Lee.
He's like...
There's not many in the world that make that statement, yeah, but bless you.
Everyone's
You're
trying
loyal.
To...
You see, you are loyal, Lee. That is what I love about you.
Let me tell you why I like Brian Harvey, right? It all dates back to watching him on this E17 reunion documentary where... He got kicked out of E17, didn't he? Yeah. Because he admitted that he liked taking E's and there was nothing wrong with E's. And the management kicked him out and the group eventually disbanded. But I think it was in the sort of 2000s, they decided that they would try again and come together for this reunion. So there was a documentary, I think it was on Channel 4, Channel 5, and you can watch it on YouTube. And there's a great bit where he's turned up for rehearsals. And he's parking his car in this sort of side street. And someone says, oh, are you sure you can park there, Brian? He went, yeah, it should be fine. Yeah, yeah, there's no signs or anything. But it was like in this weird bit. It wasn't like a street. It was like between the backs of shops, if you know what I mean. So he's gone for his rehearsal. He comes back and he gets a parking ticket. And he goes absolutely apeshit. And he's just like, I'm fucking sick of this fucking government, fucking council tax, road tax and all this. And I thought, yeah, Brian, you're right. Council tax is a fucking disgrace.
Yeah, it is.
So I really liked him from that point on. And I liked him even more because he ran himself over after eating four baked potatoes. Right. Which is the best story of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the way he tells that story. It's like, yeah, yeah. So I got home, right? And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was starving, right? So I just put these four baked potatoes in the oven, got them out, chucked a load of tuna and mayo on them, scoffed the lot. Then I went out again. Like, where are you going at 2:30 in the morning, Brian? But anyway, right, so he's driving his sports car and he says he started to feel queasy. And he threw up on the steering wheel, all these baked potatoes. And then he stops and he opens the door of his car and starts being sick. But somehow his foot slipped off or slipped onto the pedal, the accelerator, and he reversed. But he managed to get himself under the car.
Hey God.
I just can't work out how that is possible. That is so... You're leaning out of the car being sick. Then you go right under the car over your midriff.
How are you able to do that? That is incredible. Yeah. That must be a Guinness World Record. Someone to be able to run themselves over. Like,
you couldn't
reversing the car over themselves with the foot on the pedal.
Yeah.
It's hilariously.
So, you know, I mean, he nearly died. You know, a lot of people said it was a suicide attempt, but it wasn't.
I shouldn't laugh, but...
But to be fair to Brian, he's made light of it. He's done a video called, is it called German Whip?
I don't know.
Like where he's messing about with baked potatoes.
I'll have to have a look.
His microphone is basically a baked potato on a fork.
That's hilarious.
So, you know, he can make light of his near-death experience with the baked potato there.
Good for him. We should all be able to take the piss out of ourselves. Yeah. That's the key.
So anyway, just to finish the reunion story, you find out that the reunion is off, right, because Brian turned up half an hour late to a record company meeting, which didn't make the band look good. And Tony Mortimer punched him in the face.
Oh, God.
And that was it. Tony was out. I mean, you need Tony, don't you, if you can have an E17 reunion. Because
he is the band, isn't he?
He is the one that wrote everything.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Dave, if you look at E17 now, and I'm sure you've never had the inclination to see what the current lineup of E17 is, But it's like these, who the fuck are these two? It's like these new people with one of the swayers.
Right. The swayers.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's Terry, the gormless one. I mean, they were both pretty gormless. It's like this guy called Robbie Craig. Like, fuck off. You're not, he's 17.
What's going on?
But another great story of Brian was, David Icke supported him and would highlight some of the stuff Brian was talking about. And there was one video that David Icke had on his channel when Brian Harvey didn't pay his energy bill and he had a prepayment meter forced on him. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the process. So if you don't pay your gas or electric bill, rather than the company now cutting you off, they force a prepayment meter on you. But the difference between Brian and a normal person having their prepayment meter forced on them was that the police accompanied the engineers, which David Icke seized upon and thought this was a weird situation. You know, why are the police? Because they wouldn't normally attend. And he was saying, you know, this was an example of, you know, the police state and this sort of thing.
Why are they doing? Because ultimately, like, a electricity company is a big corporate fucking private enterprise.
Yeah, so it was a weird thing. I mean, the police, unless maybe they tried to do it before and Brian got a bit leery and they thought, well, if we do this again, we're not putting our guys at risk.
Well, I'm sorry, but the police, they are a bunch of fucking corporate shills, the police. They can fuck the fuck off. They really can. I think it's time we got rid of the police force. I really do. Look at the disgrace of the police force. Have you seen it? Now, you've got some guy yesterday, he's on the news because he's up for like a sexual assault, some high-ranking copper. You've got in Greater Manchester, this terrible case of this guy who was accused of rape and spent 17 years in prison.
Oh, yeah.
You heard that? That is unbelievable.
Do you know the insult to injury of that, Dave? They're charging him for bed and board.
You what?
Yeah, they do this. So anyone that is found innocent and then released from prison, they deduct bed and board from any compensation that they give them.
You are fucking shitting me. Oh, yeah. My God, that is so disgusting. That makes me so cross.
Well, the guy said, yeah, he said, but why do you not charge people that are guilty?
Bed and board.
Yeah, this why do you not charge them? Why is it only innocent people that get charged?
Do you know what? I would get a lawyer. I would get a fucking lawyer. And I would say, right. It's been proven now. I'm totally innocent. I want to sue Greater Manchester Police for £1 billion. Not a million, £1 billion. That's what you do in America, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'd sue them for fucking as much money as I possibly could. Because even if he only gets a fraction of that, he'll be a wealthy man, hopefully, for the rest of his life. But the fact that this woman was covered in this other man's DNA and the witnesses were complete charlatans who, you know, like drug addicts and stuff. And the coppers just thought, oh, he looks a bit shifty. And some lazy, fat fucking copper is living off his pension now, probably. It was behind part of that case. And they will never be brought to book. The fucking police force, not fit for fucking purpose. Fuck them off. Look what's happened in London. Coppers taking selfies of dead bodies. They can fuck the fuck off. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
need something better, Lee. We deserve
Well, I think someone
better.
Did challenge this in the European Court of Human Rights, this claiming back for bed and board. But they couldn't do anything. They said it, well, the House of Lords ruled it. It's a UK thing, you know.
Doesn't that say it all about the House of Lords?
But you know,
because they've got an House of Lords.
Yeah, well, God, yeah. But
he had both of them in there for a start. I mean, what a spot he is. He's my sporting hero, but he's a prick as a human being.
Yeah, with bad feet as well.
Oh, horrible. I've seen the advert.
Well, did you know Barry George didn't get a penny?
Did he not get a penny?
No, because apparently the judges ruled that
he wasn't innocent enough. Oh, God. I mean, I think the whole thing is shambolic. I really do. I think it's awful. I was genuinely mad yesterday when I heard that news about this guy in Greater Manchester.
Yeah.
I just thought...
Well, if you look at America, you know, the bloody West Memphis Three and the Making a Murderer...
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I mean, that is so infuriating.
It is.
That they will just never admit that they got it wrong.
Look at that whole business, though, Lee, in this country as well. The just last week going on about this private detective guy who got murdered in the 80s. He had a fucking axe in his head. He had an axe embedded in his head. And he died. And all of that, they reckon, is police corruption. Again, it's police corruption. I bet you a pound to a penny, not one person will get brought to book over it. Not one person. It'll all get hidden away, get pushed away. It kind of aligns itself with all this UAP thing in the United States. Power has this brilliant ability to shiftily push things under the carpet, find ways to stick things away. But this guy, the least they can do for this guy is give him plenty of money. And also, with a bit of luck, what you'll get a television producer will get behind it, or a filmmaker will get behind it, and you'll make a film out of it. So if I was the bloody Manchester police, I would shovel him a load of money and say, look, can we just leave it there? Make him sign some agreements and get him out. Because what will happen, they are going to get perpetual fucking embarrassment from this case, I reckon. Mm-hmm. Because isn't that a goldmine for a filmmaker? That story.
Yeah.
It's a goldmine. Someone's
Loved the story, though, Dave, of the first guy who got convicted of DNA, by DNA. You know, Colin Pitchfork.
Pitchfork, it's disgusting,
And they made every man in the area take a DNA test, didn't they?
Indeed, yeah.
And Pitchfork was obviously shitting himself, thinking, oh, God, I can't give my blood or I'm convicted.
You get caught,
So he got a mate to do it.
He got a mate to do it, didn't he? Yeah.
Now, you know, if you're asked to do somebody else's DNA test, would that not raise an eyebrow? Would you not think, hang on, they're looking for a local man.
Why am I doing this?
My mate Colin is saying he doesn't want to do the test. And the only way they got caught was some woman overheard the guy who took the test for him telling another person in the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I found that in itself. I mean, I don't know what happened to the guy, but he should have served about 5 years in prison, as far as I'm concerned, for that.
Yeah.
Something as serious as that. I mean, I'm assuming that they knew full well why the blood tests were being taken. You know,
of course he did, yeah.
It was a fucking serious bit. I mean, this guy's a double murderer, for fuck's sake. Pitchfork's a scumbag. The very fact that they're releasing the bastard, I mean, disgusts me. And it disgusts me almost as much as Kenneth Noy being out of prison, because he's a fuck. I mean, that's disgraceful they let him out of prison.
Yeah.
I mean, what a nasty, fucking nasty double murdering bastard he was, you know. And all that. I didn't like the way he was portrayed in that TV series Gold as well. I thought they almost kind of made him out to be a bit of a sort of like local hero kind of character. They portrayed them, you know, these guys behind that Brinks map, they were fucking nasty bastards. I've no doubt about it.
Mm.
And I don't think they portrayed them harshly enough in a way, because Noy, I mean, he bludgeoned that copper to death in the grounds of his own house, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really fucking brutal. And then he brutalised that fucking road rage case. Oh, that was terrible, that lad. I mean, terrifying, you know, the thought that you could get into an argument with someone and someone to do with a car and someone bloody does that to you. Jesus Christ, you know. But Pitchfork, I mean, it's pretty shocking when people like that get released from prison, to be honest. And
it was young girls, wasn't it?
Well, I just think the victims and the knock-on effect to the victims and the families, in both those cases, the knock-on effect of the people that live on as relatives to those that have been murdered, how must they feel? They must be horrified. Because I can't believe for a minute Pitchfork is a safe person on the streets. Not a fucking chance. Someone who's murdered two young women like that. And I don't think Noy's safe either. Someone gets on the wrong side of him or something. You know, anyway.
Can we go back to Brian, Dave?
Of course.
No, it was a very interesting chat about that. So Brian, the thing with the prepayment meter, it came about, right, because Brian refused to pay his energy bill because they didn't send him a bill, he said. Okay, so he said, I never got a bill, therefore why should I pay it, right? I don't know how much I'm supposed to pay, so this is a complete joke that I'm having a prepayment meter forced on me. Okay, so it turned out, right, that EDF, his supplier, did send a bill to the house, but it was in the wrong name. So you can sort of understand Brian not paying it, can't you? Until you find out that, okay, it didn't say Brian Harvey on it, but it did say Mr. H. Brian. But how would Brian know that was his bill?
Absolutely. Well, in fairness, he's got a real good point. He could probably take that to court and have a good, you know, standing on that.
The energy ombudsman, at least. But he didn't win his case. He lost. Yeah, the prepayment meter was installed, and that was that. Yeah, but he does. He sticks it to the man, Brian. He hates paying his household bills. I think we can all relate to him on that.
I think we all relate to that.
I fucking hate it when I get an email from British Gas and it's got this really smiley person looking at their laptop, right? And it says, we're increasing your energy bill. We're putting up your direct debit every time accompanied by this picture.
Do you know what I do, Lee? I swear again. Do you know what I do? Because I pay the Lecky bill, right? Mm. Well, I say I pay the Lecky bill. I do pay the Lecky bill. But what I do is I write a cheque and I just randomly write what I want and send it to them. I don't even look at the bills.
I love that you pay by cheque, Dave.
I pay them by cheque. Because I've got this Eon Next thing as well, which is unfathomable. I don't know what they're charging me. So I just think to myself, how much is it roughly per year? It's a lot more money than it was. So every month I'll send them so much, like £150 a month or something like that. Which, is, when you think about it, is ludicrous to what you used to pay for electricity.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But what I'll do is I'll do this. I'll write my check and I'll write a check that says £152.24. I'll probably crash their systems. That's what I'm doing. And then next month, and I thought, no, I'm not going to pay them that much next month, so I'll do £123.73. And I'm always doing these random checks.
Oh, I love it.
I just spite them. And I just think, fuck you. I'm just kept paying money. I'm not even looking. I don't care. I'm just going to send what I feel I can afford and let them come back to me if they've got a problem with that. And if they come back to me with, I'm just going to give them such a fucking mouthful that I think it's a disgrace. But part of the reason it keeps me sane because I don't even want, I'm either going to be a little bit in arrears or quite a bit ahead. But if I'm ahead.
I doubt you're ahead, Dave. Not with
no, prices. I'm probably not ahead.
I've just got a boring direct debit for 260 quid a month or whatever it is.
I'm probably behind this amount. But I looked at it though the other day, and the thing is, there are only three people that live in this house. You know, this is the other thing. The boiler is ignited by electricity, but it's run by oil. Okay, so we have to pay for the oil separately. Yeah. So I'm only really paying for the electric that's used in the house for things like this. So really, I shouldn't be paying anything like. But that said,
£124.38.
Exactly. That's about what I should be paying a month, isn't it? But I'm paying more than that. I've paid them more than that. In the last year, I've paid them over £2,000, I reckon. So they can fuck off.
How long does it take them before they cash it?
It's interesting because they get hold of it and they get it straight in, baby, I'll tell you. But it's still a few days, isn't it? I can earn a few more pennies before they fucking bank it. It's the biggest con in Britain today. These fuckers that are in power, because they're all shareholders, they're lapping it up. That's when we need them out.
Yeah.
I think there shouldn't be a single fucking politician in Britain that's in power that has a single share in anything. I think this is part of the problem. What we should really have, we should have a series of elected experts that run Britain, that we elect them. We elect them, pay them a decent wage. And they don't do a good enough job, we fuck them off and we get someone else in. But not this fucking ragtag of amateurs who try and run the country all the time.
This is it. I mean, I'm sick of this. You know, Labour, Tories, you know, sound like the Morrissey lyric now. But it doesn't work, does it? I mean, half the country are not happy, whoever's in. So it just doesn't work. There has to be a better system. And just this two-part, I know there's three, but this two-party system, okay, where the only time the other party gets in is when the country are absolutely sick to death of the one that's already in.
Well, and also the party we've got.
It's not that you're voting for something dead positive. You're just voting for the fact that you need them fuckers out. It's time they go.
The reality is, the majority of British people do not vote for these people that run the country. Part of the problem is that the middle of the road and the left fight against each other. So you've got Lib Dems and you've got Scottish Nationalists and you've got the Labour Party and you've got the Greens, right? And you've got Independents. And none of them would ever want to be Tories. But what they're doing, because they fight against each other, they let the Tories in. Only about 30% of the country votes for the Tories. It's pathetic,
shocking, isn't it?
We're lumbered with them. If you look at the time we've had in power with Tories in power, it's like 60-70% since the Second World War, and it's about 60%. We've had to put up with them, and they've done nothing for us as a country. If we're going to carry on with this political system as it is, we need proportional representation. We need a much fairer perspective on how people vote. And Parliament, yes, there won't be massive majorities. What will have to happen is bipartisan union. People will have to work together and argue out things for the greater good. Sick in his German whip, jacket, potatoes, cheese and that. I don't wanna die, look, man's got a daughter. I wanna see the world of a German whip. So what's a million man in bang out of war? When you see man under his German whip, when you see man under his German whip, doors wide open, rolling back, back. Man's been sick in his German whip, jacket, potatoes, cheese and that. I don't wanna die, look, man's got a daughter. I wanna see the world of a German whip. So what's a million man in bang out of war? When you see man under his German whip.